This is WFO Radio.
And we are now joined by today's third place finisher, Denny Hamlin, driver of that number 11 FedEx Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Denny, please walk us through your run today from your perspective.
I had a really good car on the short run all day. Got great restarts and was fast for 25, 30 laps. And then it seemed like guys would start catching us. So unfortunately, it was just too many laps there at the end that we couldn't hold those guys off. But at least gave ourselves a chance by getting a good restart there and getting in front of Martin. But ultimately, they just they were better turning the corner. Getting off than we were, and that finished third again.
Okay, we're going to go straight to questions. Our first question will come from Bob Pockers. Go with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Denny, did you have a lot of hope that you were going to be able to hold off Martin, or did you think it was just a matter of time that he'd get past you?
Well, I thought it was a matter of time. I mean, with about 25 to go or so, he had already gotten to my rear bumper and was kind of beating the back end off, and I was like, it's just a matter of time. The only hope, we had an extra set of tires over everyone, but hell, we would have pitted and taken tires and restarted 20th. So that wasn't going to work either. So just tough to say. We just were stuck in a box where we couldn't be good in the long run. The reason we led so many laps is we had a lot of short runs and restarts there in the middle of the race and not much green flag racing. But when we had green flag racing, again, we were fast for a little time, not a long time.
And NASCAR's told teams that they're going to start letting some sponsor people potentially in the garage. Darlington, are there any parameters that you want to see in place, or are you good with whatever NASCAR comes up with?
I'm good with whatever they come up with, whatever they deem safe is fine.
Our next question will come from Dustin Long. Go ahead with the question, Dustin.
Thank you. Denny, obviously, it's hard to complain in one sense about thirds and fourths, so many top fives at the beginning of the season, but only three playoff points at this point. I know if you continue your points-wise, you'll get a bunch of playoff points at the end of the regular season, but I'm curious, how much of a concern is it, 30% of the way through the regular season, three playoff points for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely would like to have more for sure. But the way we're running, we can win any given week. We've just gotten beat by one or two cars each and every week that have just been that hit the setup a little bit better than we did. It is, like you said, it's hard to complain. I don't know what the record is for most points scored in eight races, but I think we've pretty much got to be there. So we don't finish any worse than third in every stage. And obviously we're finishing the top three or four every race. So just keep building on that. Let's look at the positives, try not to be negative. And, our wins, we're getting closer. We're getting there. We just got to, there's none saying that we can't win the next three races in a row. So
how do you feel? Obviously a lot of different tracks, the first eight races, to be able to have this consistency. Where do you feel like, is there something a little bit off in the sense of not getting those wins that you can carry over? What do you see that's kind of held you guys back at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're just getting used to some things here and there. And I think that, similar to the fall here, we're good for the first part of the race, but we faded there towards the end. It's just something about when this track goes into night that it's not suiting either myself or the driving style in which the car reacts. So there's just a lot of different things that are factored into us not winning. I mean, honestly, we've been really close, but each time I feel like that's the best we could do that day. We're not losing with dominant cars and all the stat sheet looks like we're dominant, but it was fake news. I mean, we just had a lot of short runs there and we were leading laps when our competitors like Blaney and whatnot were having issues. So we've been the third best most weeks. And it's been one or two guys that have seemed like they just have a little better balance than we do. And we get beat by it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with the question, Jordan.
Denny, you kind of touched on it a little bit. Does today feel indicative of kind of your season? You guys are very, very good, but just kind of missing that little part to kind of get over the hump?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's just nothing I could have done, I feel, as a driver differently today. I feel like I executed well on pit road. Obviously, we're the only car that was able to take the lead on the restart on the outside multiple times. You know, sometimes the cards are dealt to you where, you know, you got a short run car and the end of the race comes down to a 40 lap run. And that's just outside your window of greatness. So, you know, it's just been amazing the execution that our team has had over the first eight races. I mean, short of a pit road penalty I had on the last pit stop at Homestead, you know, we should be top three every single week. So it's hard to be disappointed with that. We're executing phenomenal. And we just haven't had that dominant car that we've had a few times last year that we just, you know, beat up on everyone. We just haven't had that car yet. We've just been next best.
A follow-up question. After stage two, most of the leaders had pitted. There was kind of a rash of cautions there. You guys stayed on the racetrack. What was the thinking there in terms of your strategy?
Well, we saw how many tires we had left. And actually, cycling the tires for us was better for us in the long run. So it seemed like my car held on slightly better. Anytime I had a short run and then a caution, if I stayed out, my car actually held on better in the long run. So it was actually good for us to get, you know, get those tires primed, and then we finish off the run on those scuffed tires. You know, the last run was kind of a worst case scenario because we had new tires and no cycles, where during the middle of the race, we kept cycling our tires because of the caution. So it was the worst case scenario. It really exploited, you know, kind of our setup and our weakness there with 15 or so to go.
Our next question will come from Stephen Conley. Go ahead with the question, Steve.
Yeah, Denny, you mentioned taking the positives out of the first eight races. Is there a little bit more frustration out of leading 200 plus laps and coming up a little bit short, or can you find the positives in this race?
Well, I mean, I definitely can find the positives. You know, I did the best that I could do. That's what I need to come out of every weekend. That's my goal, is to like make sure I do the best that I can as a driver, and I do everything that I possibly can to win and not make mistakes. And this was just the seventh of eight races that I've done that, where I feel like there's nothing else I could have done to change the outcome. So all you can do is concentrate on your job. Chris will concentrate on his, making the car better. Pit crew's getting better every single week. So everyone, as long as they stay calm and continue to focus on their job and nothing more, we're going to continue to get better.
And how much can you take out of this, especially with Martinsville being an elimination race in the fall?
Well, that's a good baseline for us. I mean, you know, I think that we were better here than what we were in the fall. When we got back in the back of the pack in the fall, we just were not very good in traffic. And, you know, luckily for us, we stayed up front all day today. We didn't have to fight much traffic other than lap cars. And then by then, our car was starting to fade anyway. So, you know, we'll just have to really look at the data and see, you know, where our strengths and weaknesses is, and really digest into the 19 car and see, you know, where they're different and what approach they have that's different, that's, you know, making them so good at the end of this race.
Thank you.
And our final question will come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead with the question, Jacob.
Thanks, Matt. Denny, you touched on it a little bit when you answered Jordan, but you mentioned that the last run really exploited kind of the weakness in your car over that longer run. Was there a lot that you and Gayheart could do to adjust it to make it much better for a longer run, or was it a case of where, you know, this particular weakness, you just kind of had what you had?
I had what I had. So the only thing that I could, you know, what I would do is that since I had such a good short run cars, I would run as hard as I could for the time that it was good. And if I could build a gap over the guy that was behind me, it would just take him longer to get to me instead of me trying to ride and like save my stuff. You know, all I did was let those guys, you know, when my car started fading, they were right on me instead of half straight away back. So, the cars that were dealt, I mean, the reason we even took the lead on that final restart is because we were good on the short run. So we made sure that we preserved what strong suit we did have, and that was, you know, the first 20 laps.
Good deal. Well, Denny, thank you for joining us, and good luck next week in Richmond. Good deal. We are joined now by today's runner-up from the Blue UMU Maximum Pain Relief 500, Chase Elliott. Chase, walk us through your second place finish today.
Yeah, just a really, really hard fought second, I feel like, for us. We were not great, but had some, I guess, our strong suit was kind of early on in the run and then really faded hard, too hard there, you know, latter part of a run. But we never got one of those super long runs, which was probably a good thing for us because we were struggling on that end. But yeah, just, you know, proud we could fight back. We had a long day just with strategy not going our way, and restart lane choice at times was tough. So I'm glad we were able to, you know, get back in the fight there and give ourselves a chance.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for questions. Our first question is going to come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Chase, does this do anything for you for October, you know, when you look back, when you look ahead and this being such a pivotal race?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, this is an important race. I mean, they're all important, but for sure, when you get down to that round of eight, you know, if you're still alive in that deal, a win at any of those tracks gives you an opportunity. So, of course, definitely, this is, as long as it's where it's at in the, you know, in the final 10, it'll always be an important race.
Our next question will come from Daniel McFadden. Go ahead with the question, Daniel.
Hey, Chase. So you just said on Fox Sports that you described this as an eventful year so far. How challenging has been the season been for you guys so far with just now being your third top five of the year after, you know, coming off a championship?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we've just – every week, I feel like it's been, you know, one thing or another, or, you know, a bad run or just whatever. So just, you know, nice to have just a smooth day, no damage, no, you know, we didn't break anything. Everything was just smooth, you know, it was uneventful. And that's the days you have to compete for wins. Ultimately, you know, some of that's in your hands, some of it's not, but yeah, we've, you know, just really nice to have an uneventful day, so to speak. And, you know, just get a solid finish, got some solid stage points. So it was definitely a step in the right direction for us.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Stephen Connolly. Go ahead with the question, Stephen.
Yeah, Chase, with today's solid performance, Truex gets his second win of the season. How important is it going to be moving forward to get multiple wins? Or do you think kind of where we're at as points, what you've got right now is going to be okay, or is it still pivotal to get multiples?
Well, I mean, I definitely think winning is a crucial part to the playoffs, and you know, it doesn't guarantee you, you know, as you go along, but it sure does hedge your bet and having a successful playoff run if you have wins in the bank. So I want to be on that side of the fence when that rolls around rather than the opposition.
Thank you.
You were muted.
Go ahead with your question, Ashley. Our final question will come from Ashley. Go ahead with your question, Ashley.
Hey, Chase, thank you for the time. Congrats on the finish. What do you feel you're missing there at the end in relation to the Joe Gibbs Racing duel?
Yeah, I think the, you know, just rear grip for me was kind of the story of my day. And that was, you know, also the problem there at the end. Just didn't have the drive I needed to, you know, to get up off the corner like I wanted and to be able to, you know, really get the power down early. So, yeah, solid day, but just came up short.
And you talk about the rocky start that you've had to the season. How much momentum and confidence does this now give you guys towards Richmond and beyond?
Yeah, like I said earlier, just nice to have, you know, an uneventful day, so to speak, and to get, you know, just have some nice stage points, have a nice finish. Those things are always nice. And, you know, I feel like we had a mistake free day, which is what you got to have. So it was good.
Thank you. Yep.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, Chase, and good luck at Richmond.
Cool. Thanks.
Okay. We are now joined by our winning team owner, Coach Joe Gibbs, Joe Gibbs Racing. Boy, Coach, what a run that you're on right now, particularly with Martin Truex Jr. Yeah, your third win on the season. Walk us through the emotion you have right now winning this race here at Martinsville Speedway.
Well, what I'm excited about is, yes, great race. I think I was just praying that Denny and Martin didn't get together up front. That was my biggest concern. But anyway, I was most thrilled with the fact that, you know, all four of our cars wound up in the top 10. Didn't go well for Kyle today, but he fought so hard. I was really proud of him getting back to 10th. And then Christopher was fast all day. And then, of course, Denny. I just think Martin's car was, you know, better on long runs than what Denny's was. So Denny fought so hard. So anyway, it was a real good day for us. We love Martinsville. I think everybody at our race team gets excited every time we come here.
Okay, we're going to go to questions. Our first question is going to come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
Joe, where do you think Joe Gibbs Racing stacks up right now compared to Hendrick, Team Penske, and, you know, kind of overall? Because we've seen Hendrick this year kind of assert themselves a little bit. Penske's won the last couple races. Where are you at right now?
I think it's always hard to say, and we're really only, you know, just getting started, really. 8 races in or whatever it is, 8 or 9. And I would say that it kind of constantly has been going through the year. Somebody gets up pretty good and then somebody else steps up. So I think it's going to be hard fought all year. I was really happy today about short track for us. That was a good deal because, you know, I get excited when all four of our cars run well. But I think it's up in the air as to who you could say is the strongest team right now.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead with the question, Bob.
Yeah, Coach, NASCAR is going to start letting some select people in the garage area in a few weeks. I'm curious, what were the parameters that you wanted to see in the garage for your guests who you, I assume, want to get in as soon as possible?
Yeah, we got so many guys that love racing, key people that support our race team. I'm sure other race teams out there are the same way. And we need to, as quick as we can, get those people in, you know, inside, back where they can get and enjoy racing again. I think most of our key sponsors, the CEOs and upper management of our sponsors, most of them, as I continue to talk to them, have both vaccines. And so hopefully that's going to make a difference too. I have, and I know a lot of people on our team have. So I'm hoping that that's our breakthrough. But it's a huge deal for us, and we need to get our partners back with us. And so I'm sure hoping, I know NASCAR's talked about it. I know they're doing everything they can, but that would be a huge deal for us.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead with the question, Jacob.
Thanks, Matt. Coach, congratulations. Two questions for you. First, you kind of touched on it in your opening there, but how difficult as a team owner is it to balance letting your guys race hard like we saw at the end of that race, but trusting them not to cross that line and end up taking each other out in a battle like that?
Well, let me say this. It has happened, okay? It's happened a number of times over the years with us. And of course, you know, what you realize is each one of the drivers, each one of our sponsors, the crew chiefs, everybody on that team is so important to the individual teams. When we're back at the race shop, we act as one big, you know, team. But when you get to the racetrack, and when it gets down to actually the race and at the end of the race, it is each one of our teams. They want to win for their sponsor and for their career and everything that's wrapped up in it. So you always worry about it. It has happened to us numerous times over the years where two of our guys would be up front and get together. And I will say this, that's the most nervous that I get in the race is when two of our guys are up front like that. And the whole time I'm praying, just don't wreck each other. I got to admit that.
And you had four cars in the top seven in the Xfinity race. Everybody but Kyle ran really strong at the end of the Cup race. Do you feel this is maybe one of the strongest positions JGR as a whole has been in a long time?
Well, certainly, I think our Xfinity program, you know, we put so much into that. And it's really been something that really supports, and we've had so many people come from Xfinity to Cup. It's so important to our overall program. I think our four cars there in Xfinity, I think our crew chiefs there are all veteran guys, and our drivers there, I think they all get along really well. I think we got, I'm so happy with our Xfinity program and the way everybody's worked together. I think we're really, really strong in our Xfinity program. And then of course, to come back today with Cup here at a very tough place. We love Martinsville, by the way, all of our guys do. And to come back and have everybody in the top 10, I think that I really get excited about that. Besides the win, it was great for Bass Pro and Johnny and Auto Owners and Jeff. I just really appreciate those guys and the way they support us.
We're going to take one more question for Coach, and I'll come from Greg Engel. Go ahead with the question, Greg.
Hey, Coach, congratulations, obviously. Kind of on the business side of it, you're talking about you want to get those CEOs and those folks back to the track. Obviously, that's an important part of your program. How important is it for you when you're trying to attract some new sponsorship to be able to bring those kind of folks to the track? And what kind of lessons have you learned during all this COVID shutdown? Because I know you guys have been working hard. Kind of lessons that you'll help that you've learned to maybe help you with sponsorship now and in the future?
Well, I think you're right. It's so much harder when you can't entertain potential companies that could possibly come to the racetrack with you and get to see everything that takes place at a NASCAR race. The thing about NASCAR, as opposed to other sports, the fact that you can be here, you can be in the hall area, you can be on pit road, you can have hospitalities and have the driver come up and actually get autographs, ask questions. I go up and do the same thing. And when you're missing all that, it's really hard. And so I appreciate our sponsors. I know the other owners do here, everybody that's worked so hard with us, but it's I'm hoping we've reached a time now where we can start getting a lot of the key players for us from the sponsorship standpoint back at the racetrack. And I know NASCAR wants to do that. They're working hard to try and get that done, but it's a huge deal, as I mentioned earlier, because they play such a key part. Over here, you can't race these cars if you don't have a partner, a sponsor partner. And that's not the case in other sports, but it is here. And so I think we've learned a lot through COVID. Everybody's handled everything, I think, about as good as you could handle it. NASCAR's done a fantastic job. And so we've learned a lot coming to the racetrack and only bringing one car, no practice. I know that's been a big adjustment for the tracks, no practice and qualifying. So it's been a huge change, but I think everybody's done a good job of fighting their way through it.
Thanks, Coach. Enjoy your win, sir.
You bet.
Thank you, Coach. Go, as you say, go forth and enjoy your win, and good luck next week in Richmond.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, everybody.
And we are now joined by our race winner for today's Blue Emu maximum pain relief firefighter, Martin Truex Jr. Martin, congratulations on the win. It seemed like the race came to you and you really took advantage of it when the time was right. Walk us through your final run there.
Yeah, it was, interesting how it all played out there. You know, I thought throughout the day we were, third to fifth place car in there. And then at one point we, middle of the race, we got off a little bit and was probably sixth or seventh place car. So it was kind of a weird day, but, just proud of the guys for working hard on it. They did a great job. And, that last pit stop, we were able to get us the lead and couldn't quite hold off the 11 on that restart. He was really fast firing off and, just try to stay with him and take care of my car. I knew there was enough laps left that, tire wear in the long run was going to come into play. And, he started getting tight. My car was getting better and better and, we're able to take advantage of it. So really happy. And, for whatever reason, our car really turned on when the lights went down. And it's always good when a plan comes together and it works out the way you hoped it would.
Good deal. We're going to go to questions. Our first question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with the question, Jordan.
Martin, a couple questions for you. Start with, what's your line on racing a teammate and deciding when or when not to use the bumper?
It depends on the track, I guess. Here it was obvious that, we were quite a bit faster at that point when I caught the 11 and, he was racing as hard as he could to keep us back, but I knew if I was patient, I was going to be able to, complete the pass. So, I don't know. I've never really, knocked a teammate out of the way. I don't know that there is a right time to do it. I guess it just depends on how you race each other normally and what your relationship is.
Gotcha. And the second question, you last year won one race. You guys were very good at times and it looked like you kind of typical performance for you guys, but just one win. Get back to victory lane twice this year already. Does it start to feel like this is 2019, 2018, those championship, years?
I think so. I mean, I feel really good about our team and overall what we can do this year. Our cars are strong and our team is strong. We've been together a long time. Obviously last year, James was the new piece moving to crew chief, but man, he's done a great job. And last year, for whatever reason, it just seemed like we were, missing the tiniest little things. And sometimes it wasn't even things we were doing wrong. It just was, sometimes you feel like things aren't meant to be, honestly, but feeling good about it. Got a great team. Pit crew really stepped up today. And, like I said, had a great stop on that last one, got us the lead. And, we got all the tools necessary. Great sponsors, Bass Pro, Auto Owners, Resource. I mean, TRD and Toyota, all they do for us. We have a great opportunity to win a lot of races, and hopefully we can take advantage of it this year more than we did last year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is going to come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, Martin, I got two for you. You mentioned the final pit stop there. Did you do anything different or did it all come down to the pit crew? Because it just seemed like you got a much better launch to beat Denny out there.
I got the launch because I seen him coming. I knew it was going to be close. So really just try to push it there. Honestly, that was really not a lot different than the time before on pit road. So I'd have to really look back and see if it was that much better. But you see an opportunity there and it makes you, kind of try to give a little extra, but overall it was the same as the rest of the stops. I think the pit crew just stepped it up and did a good job on that last one.
And then on the restart where Denny, as you said, he got a better jump and took off there. Did that surprise you at all that he was able to do that on the outside? Cause for the most part, the inside lane for the leader had been pretty dominant today.
It didn't really surprise me. I was pretty loose. So, not surprised. He was really fast on restarts all day from what I could tell. And I was only around him on one of them and he beat my back bumper off in the middle of the corner, just being so much faster than me. So I wasn't really surprised. I was a little too loose there to take off and he was holding me down tight, which is he's supposed to. And, I just couldn't get the gas down. So not surprised at all, to be honest.
Our next question will come from Bob Pockris. Go ahead. The question, Bob.
Yeah, Martin, were you pretty confident that you'd be able to pass Denny without, having to do much drama, considering it looked like you had a stronger car than him?
It was weird. His car really, he was really good all night. And then that last run, it really looked like he flipped the switch and got tight, which, probably the sun going down. I don't know if they made adjustments to be able to fire off faster for a shorter run at the end, whatever. I don't know whatever happened. His car really flipped the switch. So at that point I was like, I know I can get by him. It's just, I need to be patient and no sense of pushing it with you know, plenty of laps left, and a nine was still pretty far back.
Is it hard to be patient?
Not really. No, I mean, I'm 40, so it's I've learned over the years that you're better off being patient than not. You know, it pays off in the long run usually.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question is going to come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with the question, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Martin. You said in your post-race to Steve Post that you never anticipated winning one Martinsville clock, and now you have three. Why did you just not think that it was ever going to happen for you here at Martinsville?
You know, it just never, it was never clicking, you know? I mean, even at times where we could have decent runs, it was like fifth, sixth, seventh. I just felt like that's really all the best I could ever run here up until, you know, up until like 2015 or so. For whatever reason, I just could never get the car to do the things I wanted it to do. And there was, it came a point where people told me they can't do those things that you wanted to do. So then you're like, well, okay, maybe it can't do those things. And I just need to, you know, figure out how to drive it the way it is. And that's kind of, you know, after not having success in the track, it comes to a point where you really don't know what you need to do, or if it's even possible to do the things that you want to do. It's a real challenge. So I mean, I've just been lucky to have, you know, to be with really good people, have really good cars, and you know, have that communication, that belief in one another, that you can make the thing do the things that you want it to do, and they know you're driving it right, and you know they know how to set it up, and you work together, and that's kind of where we've been, you know, the past, you know, really, I guess 6-7 years here. Just it's a place where it doesn't change all that much, other than, you know, depending on the tires that Goodyear brings, and you can really, you know, just continue to work on similar things and refine those, and that's what we've been able to do here. So it's been awesome, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Do you have a place for the new clock?
Absolutely. I absolutely do.
Okay.
I'll make places. If I keep winning them, I will make places for them. I promise you.
Super. Good luck.
Not a problem.
Safe travels.
Thanks. You too.
We're also joined by today's winning crew chief, James Small. James, walk us through your win from your perspective.
It was a little bit of a shit show, really. But, you know, we worked all week on, you know, racing last night. You know. Yeah, well, it was, don't deny it. But, it was very different to how we've won here before. Usually we're a bit, you know, had a pretty dominant car and led a lot of laps. But this week we had the battle, you know, and I think the track starting off this afternoon was quite a lot different to what we've experienced here in the last, you know, few races where we've been really strong. And, you know, we struggled and chipped away at it, but, you know, it wasn't until the final stage. I think the cautions were kind of helping us, you know, taking the rubber off the track, not allowing it to rubber in. And we kept adjusting a little bit. And that delay and everything, like it finished so late, the conditions actually got back and the track turned back to pretty similar to how, you know, the last few races. And, you know, all those things just lined up. And you know, it was at the end there, Denny had been, you know, exceptional on a short run all day. So no matter what lane we picked, it was going to be hard to, you know, hold him off. And I knew, you know, we could come back at him. You know, us on the 12 were pretty good on the long run. Thankfully, he went to the back. So, you know, it kind of all just worked out for us.
Yeah, we're going to continue on with questions. Our next question will come from Steve Conley from PRN. Go ahead with your question, Stephen.
Congratulations, Martin. I'm kind of curious in regards to you're tracking down Denny. You know you've got how good he's been on the short run, but how good you were on the long run. Is there something a little extra special being able to pass somebody late for a win after they've been as dominant as they were?
Yeah, it's always a good feeling. You know, you never want to be on the other end of it. I've certainly been on plenty. On the losing end of plenty of races where we've dominated, and I know how it feels. It sucks, but you know, at the end of the day, these races are really, really long. A lot can change, and you know, you really just got to hope that things play out the way you need it to. So, you know, for whatever reason, you know, his car just got really tight there with, you know, I want to say 20, 30 to go, whatever it was, whenever we made the pass, and you know, our car was really strong at that point. So, we took our lumps and battled really hard all day, to, you know, for that end result to pay off. So feels good. And, you know, it's nice when things work out the way you need them to in your favor at the end of a race.
And is there a little bit of relief being able to get that second win the way the first year has first of this year has gone, seven different winners. Now you're the first repeat winner, little relief kind of going into the middle portion of the year.
I don't know about relief. Just, you know, it's exciting, you know, to be here with two wins at, you know, at this point in the season, you know, compared to last year. Well, it's always good. You know, you always want to do better than past previous years. So having two wins this early is great. It's good for points. It's good for playoff points. And, you know, we need to keep racking them up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our final question for Martin is going to come from Dustin Long. Go ahead with the question, Dustin.
Thank you, Martin. And James, maybe you can also answer this as well. Martin, for a long time, one of the storylines was you weren't able to win at a short track. You've now won, I think this is your fifth win in the last 11 short track races. So you've nearly won half the short track races for a guy who, you know, seemingly couldn't win on the short track. What do you feel like has changed? I'm sure some of it's equipment and what that's allowed you to do in this period to kind of have this dominance. And James, from your perspective, what you kind of seen or what you've been able to do in the role of engineer crew chief through that time to help Martin. Thanks.
You know, Dustin, for me, it's just been what I mentioned a little while ago, and it's confidence in each other, believing in each other. And, you know, there was a time in my career when, you know, I go back to the Busch Series days, all the races I won there were short tracks. You know, we never won any mile and a half. And I'm like, well, damn, I need to get better at mile and a half. And then, you know, you work on that. And you know, in the Cup Series, it's, you know, every track is tough. Everybody's working constantly on being better at every type of track. But, you know, for whatever reason, for me, the short tracks never really panned out. And it, you know, even though we had a lot of great runs over the years, for instance, I think we led the most laps at Richmond, like three or four races in a row where we finally won there. You know, it's sometimes you need things to go your way. But honestly, I think from a consistency standpoint of being consistent at these short tracks, it's just, it comes down to people and equipment and, you know, that belief in each other. And, you know, as I mentioned, especially at Martinsville, being able to just work on similar things year after year with the same group of guys for the most part. And continuing to, you know, improve on small things and really just, you know, believe in what they're telling you. If they tell me I need to drive it a certain way, I start driving a certain way. And if I know, you know, if I tell them that it needs to do something different, they know it needs to do something different. And, you know, it's just that that team chemistry that we've had over the years has been really good. And we've been able to fine tune on these places.
Exactly what he said.
Yeah.
I like that synergy there. Well, Martin, congratulations on the win and good luck next week at Richmond.
Thanks, buddy. See you guys.
Okay. We're going to continue on here with James. Our first question for James is going to come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thanks, James. I got two for you. Can you just further elaborate on your view of this being a shit show?
it was a struggle. You know, we didn't start off well. Yeah. We ran in the top five, you know, the most part of the day aside when it got from a little crazy with all the different people coming and going and staying out. And, you know, I think we were as far back as 12th a couple of times and then battled back through and caution, you know, it's just, we couldn't get into a flow. And I felt like, you know, we had a somewhat decent car on a long run, but it wasn't great. And we weren't great on a short run and we still need to be better. We didn't have the pace of the 11 on the 12 and, we tried a couple of things, went the wrong way, and then came back on them and did a few other things. And finally, that third stage, I think we hit on something. You know, Martin gave really good feedback, exactly what he needed. And it kind of all started making sense. And I think the track came to us a little bit there. So, you know, it was just, yeah, all over the shop. It was a bit of a blur, to be honest. And then, yeah, pit crew did a great job at the end there as well on that final stop. So.
And then you were naturally very animated on the radio, very excited, never give up, all that. How much of that, if anything, is also a bit of relief to just get a second win in a season after, as was well documented, you talked about earlier this week, just missing out last year on so many?
Yeah, it's definitely a relief. You know, there was, you know, quite a number of races last year where we had the best car and, you know, things didn't go right at the end. You know, and that's a real punch in the guts every time that happens. And you know, it's even sweeter when you're coming from behind and you know, you battled all day and you know, I feel like that's what's really good. No matter what happens with our team, you know, whether it's Martin, the guys behind the wall, you know, everybody, we just keep trying and trying and never give up, you know. And you know, finally we got there. And, you know, we've lost some races like that. You know, last year we lost one where we led for a lot of it and got past at the end. And it's gut-wrenching, and it's good to finally do it to somebody else. So, you know, we got a bit excited there on the radio at the end.
Our next question will come from Davey Segal. Do I have the question, Davey?
Yeah, James, you guys have won at arguably the two most important tracks of the year, with Martinsville and Phoenix being the last two races of the year. Did you put an extra point of emphasis at those two tracks going into the year, or did this kind of just happen by chance that you guys were really good when it counted?
Yeah, not really. We probably put, you know, a little bit less emphasis on this track, to be honest. We've been so good here, and it's just a, you know, small refinement of the package every time we come back. We pinpoint things that we probably need to do a little bit better last time, and just small tweaks, because it's so hard with my practice. You don't want to, you know, especially a track like this, which not very aero-sensitive, it's, you know, all mechanical related. It's like, you can't afford to go out on a, you know, out on some tangent, on some philosophy or theory or whatever. Like, you just got to stick with what's worked and refine that. And I feel like that's why, you know, a lot of it, it's the same guys that are running good here all the time. It's the 9, the 12, the 11, you know, 22s there, like all those guys. And we all obviously have something that our drivers, you know, like, and it responds well, and we just keep bringing similar stuff back. So, no, it's just, we put far more effort into the tracks we sucked at. So hopefully we get better at them.
So Martin's got three clocks now. He's got two with you. Is there any chance that he would give you one, or are you going to have to earn one yourself?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I don't want one. They don't really, you know, they don't really fit in my small apartment. So, and if I ever decide to go back to Australia one day, that's going to be a nightmare. So, you know, I'll just keep the memories.
Cool. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Our next question is going to come from Jacob Seelman. Go with the question, Jacob.
Thanks, Matt. James, congratulations. Two questions for you. First, you had been under Cole and worked with Martin for a couple of years, but last year was really your first time getting thrown to the fire and leading this team. The success that you guys have had now to start the year, is this a case of everything coming together and you and Martin finding the rapport you need with one another? Or was, you know, last year and only having the one win more circumstances than necessarily trying to get comfortable?
Yeah, I feel like last year, you know, we were pretty comfortable as well, you know, especially after we came back from the COVID break and started getting rolling there. You know, I think it's more just us getting better at this no practice racing. Obviously, and us understanding how the track is to start these races and how it evolves with, you know, when it starts with not too much rubber and things like that. But obviously, I'm a lot more comfortable now, just dealing with the whole thing, the whole situation, you know, what to expect on a weekly basis now. You know, and jarring, you know, with the guys more and your communication, all those things. Like, I've known everybody forever, but it just feels more comfortable now. It's like, so, you know, that's a big part. And I think, you know, I've known what Martin needs. He knows what he needs. It's always been about us just trying to put it together. And I think, you know, it's just things are clicking again. They're going right. They're not going wrong. You know, like, that's what happened a lot last year. So it's nice. Hopefully it continues.
How rewarding are the days like today when you don't have the fastest car, you don't have a dominant car like what your teammate had, and yet you keep digging, you find a way to come out on top and, you know, make the right changes late?
Yeah, to be honest, this feels like even sweeter than any other one we've had. You know, it was just a weird day. It was difficult, but it's definitely a really nice feeling, I won't deny. And it's nice, you know. The 11 did that to us at Dover last year. We led a lot of the race, and he passed us late and won because he had a better car. I was kind of went away a little bit, and, you know, similar thing happened. So, you know, it comes and goes, and I'm sure it'll happen. Probably happen to us at some point later in the year. But, you know, it's definitely sweet, that's for sure.
Our next question will come from Ashley McCubbin. Go ahead with the question, Ashley.
Hey, James, congratulations on the win. You talk about being able to find what the car wanted at the end of the race and be strong when it mattered. How much did the track change from daytime to nighttime?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, it was slick and it was getting a lot tighter. It started with rubber on it, was taking a little more rubber, but then, you know, as it cooled off and, you know, I think those series of cautions, it just, you know, in short runs, it never allowed it to, you know, rubber back up. And you know, we were pretty bad, like tight for a while there, and we started going the wrong way. And, you know, it kind of played into our hands a little bit. You know, the 11, I think, still got tight at the end there, but, you know, we were maybe just a little bit ahead on adjustments compared to them. And, you know, it definitely helped. And also with it cooling down, I think it just got back more into our wheelhouse and more where our overall setup is a little more happy based on the last three races.
And you guys are now the first team to win two races this season. And as Davey mentioned, two of the most important tracks on the schedule. How does it feel to have everybody looking towards the 19 team as the early championship favorite, perhaps?
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely better than looking like a pack of losers. So, you know, it's good. And hopefully we can just continue this trend now because, you know, as we all know, it's all about accumulating bonus points and getting through those rounds. You know, and it's definitely nice to have won at two of the most important tracks. And, you know, there's plenty more we need to knock off and get better at to make sure we make a really good run at later in the year.
Thank you for your time.
Well, James, congratulations on the victory and making the most of this show tonight. And good luck next week in Richmond.
All right. Thank you very much.
This is WFO Radio.
Bye, bye, bye.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.